right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Rebunged. My name is Scott, coming at you live from Nashville, Tennessee, Music City. And I got a great episode for you guys tonight. This is going to be really, really cool. Very, very excited. So before we get too far into it, I just want to show you guys how you can follow and support the show. Hold on. Okay, there we go. I want to tell you how to follow and support the show. So let's head over here. So this is, sorry, I meant to have this pulled up ahead of time, y'all. This is the main website, rebunked.news. This is where you're going to find links to all of pretty much everything related to the show, all of the value for value donation options, social media, all the video platforms we're on, and audio. So if you want to listen on the go, make sure you subscribe, like 5-star reviews, Apple Podcasts, that sort of thing, on Spotify even. That really helps, you know, just it helps the show. So that would be very appreciated. And then, of course, we've got the t-shirt shop. It's a great way to support the show if you want to get yourself some merch. We got all kinds of fun little designs. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you think. It'll piss off your neighbors. All that good stuff. We got men's shirts. Every time it blows my mind, a $30 hoodie. You can't get a $30 hoodie anywhere, okay? Compliance is violent. Censorship kills. The famous Beavis, are you threatening me shirt? Let's see. There you go. Look at how fantastic that is. $30. For a freaking hoodie. You can't find that deal anywhere in the universe. I'm telling you right now. Okay. We got women's shirts. We got hats, beanies, and stickers. So rebunk.news/shirts, or at rebunk.news, you can find the button for it right there. The little link for it right near the top. There's a gift send go out there, you guys. If you want to just drop a tip in the tip jar, I just call it the tip jar. If you guys want to make a donation, it's giftsendgo.com/rebunked. If you get any value out of the show, you can return that value. Just go to rebunk.news and you can find all the links to return that value. Another way to support the show and just to follow the show is over at the Substack. So Substack, or rebunked.substack.com. This is basically my mailing list. This is how I stay in touch with you guys. All right. So every time I got a show coming up or anything, any announcements related to the show, I'm planning on utilizing it for, you know, other stuff. You know what I mean? Whenever there's anything going on, I'm going to be putting it out on the Substack. So if you go to rebunk.substack.com, you can sign up for the mail list. It's for free. You don't have to pay a damn thing. However, there is an option if you want to become a paid subscriber, $5 a month, or you could be a yearly donor, whatever you want to do. That helps the show quite a bit. Like those of you that do contribute, I appreciate that. That really helps like cover a lot of the costs of the show that occur monthly. So, but you don't have to. It's totally free. Rebunk.substack.com. That's how you stay up to date with the show. And then all of you Bitcoin bros that have been cashing out over these last couple of months, you know, you can toss your boy a little coin if you want. There's the old Bitcoin address. You know what's really funny is that, like, I've been watching all the Bitcoin stuff, being like, oh, damn, must be nice. You know what I mean? Like, and I remember, you know, I actually have a couple wallets. Let me check. And I pulled it up and like, I have like a few hundred, you know, I had some money in one of them. I didn't even realize, like, I don't know when I bought that. Like it must've been like years ago. It's not much. It's like a few hundred bucks, but you know, it's kind of fun to watch it. It's enough to make it interesting to watch this bull run, but not enough for me to get all twisted up and like crazy. You know what I mean? So I just thought that was kind of fun. I was like, oh, look at that. Like free Bitcoin. But anyway, all of you that became billionaires, if you want to return some of that value, there's the address right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, why not? If you get like $1 million worth of value out of the show, like $1 million worth of Bitcoin value out of the show, there you go. You can return that value right there, baby. That's how we roll. So anyway, all right, guys. I think that's pretty much about it. Again, rebunk.news for all of the affiliate links and just any way you want to, that's on your heart to contribute to help this show float. You can just do that over at rebunked.news. All right. So tonight I have a very special guest. So he's an author. Wrote this amazing, empowering, uplifting series called The Breath Singer Saga. I believe he's got, whoops, sorry. I believe the first book is out. And let's say hello to Matthew J. Karen. Matthew, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm doing really good, man. Well, congratulations, first of all. So the book is officially out now, right?
That's right.
Okay. So when did it come out?
Came out March 2nd, so it's been out for a couple weeks now.
Okay. How's it been going, dude? Are you super stoked, pumped, excited?
Yeah, man. Like, this has been years in work, so to see that it's finally come to a point where it's a real life thing that people can now see for themselves and buy. It's a great feeling. And on Amazon, like, reviews have been coming in. People have been loving it. I've talked to a lot of people I gave advanced review copies to. And for the most part, like, everyone's really, like, from all different kinds of demographics, like, everyone's been able to get something out of it, you know, which has been really good to see.
Okay, great. Well, congratulations, man. That's, like, I think we were talking a little bit before the show, like, you know, it's always been a goal of mine to write a book. You know, I don't know what that's going to look like, but I think I told you, like, I wrote a book back in the day, but it was like, I don't know. It was like a time in my life where I wasn't, like, in a very good spiritual place. I wasn't, you know, my best self. And what came out of that was, like, a very dark book. And I literally, it's like, I hand wrote it about 300 some pages, but it was like dark and violent. And it had, like, really dark bad guys. It's like, that was just like a product of what came out of me, of where I was at the time. And it's like, I've revisited it because I'm like, you know, I've already read it. I might as well just type it up and put it out there. But, like, in the process of doing that, like, it was a few years ago that I started to, like, type it up to see. I was just like, I don't want to put this out in the world, man. Like, I just don't feel like it's dessert. Like, the world doesn't deserve that. I don't know. It was just, so I just scrapped the whole thing. So anyway, so now I'm in a much more, I don't know, wholesome part of my life, I guess. And so I'm looking for something like that. So tell me a little bit about how this came to be. So I understand it was, like, during the whole COVID situation, but tell us a little bit about how you got into writing, what the inspiration was for you to actually tackle this project.
Right. So, yeah, it did really start with the COVID lockdowns, because I've been interested in writing for a long time. Even throughout high school, I was always told that, like, my writing was very well. And, like, I never like spent a whole lot of time thinking about writing or, like, really learning the technical aspects of it. I just read a lot of books and I'm like, oh, that's how you write things. And I just started. Right. Like, it was all intuitive, you know?
Yeah.
And, I even got, like, a scholarship award, high school year. Like, I didn't even know it was a thing. Like, my teacher applied me for it and I got it. And, So for years, like, I've had, like, the ability to write. I just never really had anything to write about, you know? Like, it was more just one of those things that was like, oh, that's cool. And then I just stick it on a shelf and never really touched it. And, you know, when COVID hit and I was in engineering school for 5 years, I had just graduated, like, May of 2020. And so all this craziness is going on. I have my degree, but the company I was slated to work for at the time, they told me they were pretty much freezing all, like, new hire onboards until August. So for that entire summer, I had nothing to do, basically. And it was a time where I just decided I was going to just hang back and really just do the things that I wanted to do, like, no stress, just things that was on my heart to do. One of them was build a garden. Mm-hmm. I was at my parents' place, and they had plenty of lawn area where I was just able to make a little 60 square foot garden, nothing crazy, but just tending that garden, it's crazy what it can do, like, to your entire mindset, you know, because just being able to get into the dirt and, you know, cultivate life, you know, properly prune your plants, take care of all this stuff, fertilize, and just really reconnect with nature. You start to really get a feel for just how much nonsense is out there and how little it all actually matters. It's like, to the point where people were scared that their breath was poisonous.
Yeah.
And, like, that part, like, really just set off so many red flags to me. I'm like, that's how I know, like, this is crazy. Cause, like, it's our breath. And, like, that very thing, like, that very essence of who we are, you know? Like, in the Bible, in Genesis 2:7, it says God breathed the breath of life into man. And from that point on, man became a living soul. Like, the language of ancient Hebrew and Greek, they both associate the the term breath, whether it's ruach or pneuma, with spirit, like with the soul. You know, there's something really sacred to it. And like, I had that kind of knowledge going into this. And so I'm starting to like connect some dots. I'm like, this is really crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, being part of the bear community, I was really inspired to, start using my talents towards things that are good. So I'm like, what are my talents? You know, like I'm an engineer, like I can do numbers and stuff, but like beyond that, what are my talents? And I remembered like how much I enjoyed writing. I'm like, you know, what a cool thing it would be to write about is the magic of breath, you know, like the sacredness of breath, to like kind of counteract like the crazy notion that our breath is poison. Mm-hmm. You know? And one thing that I always been into, even as a little kid, was fantasy, whether it was video games like Final Fantasy or fantasy novels. Like I was really into Brent Weeks and Brandon Sanderson, and like the idea where you can build like this world that's pretty much all your own, like you set the rules and everything, but it's like an allegorical way where you can express truth in a way that doesn't trigger people. So it really started to come together for me. It was like, I can write a fantasy novel about the magic of breath, and it doesn't have to be like just anti-COVID propaganda. It can be something that people can resonate with without fully knowing like what it is, you know, like they intuitively get it, but they don't, it's not just like plain black and white. Here's what it is, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, the agenda itself was so much aimed at, like we saw like one of my favorite classics was like the George Floyd stuff, where you had people wearing masks that mm-hmm. said, "I can't breathe" on the masks. Right. I think that was referenced to some other situation, but like, you know what I mean? Like at all the BLM riots, like they were wearing the masks that said, "I can't breathe." It's like, well then mm-hmm. take off your mask. But it's like, yes, so much of the agenda had to do was aimed directly at our ability to breathe and our breath, right? Like they had captured that, they had co-opted that, and they weren't telling us, and they weren't being blatant about it, but they knew that tied into something very deep and significant with us as living beings. Like it's like the most important thing, you know, it's like the most important thing that we have, that like the just like the mana that the universe gives us, right? It's just like this creation life energy that just exists everywhere. I mean, it's fascinating, right? It's like the essence of everything. And so they directly attacked it. So, you know, it's beautiful that you can create a story around it and mm-hmm. create a different narrative around this sacred thing that we all share. You know, we all, it's the same thing that we all, doesn't matter who you are, where your background is, where you live, we all share this unique experience of breathing in, breathing out, 100%. It's wild.
Exactly, man. Like, it's such a paradox. Like, it's like the perfect inversion, because they're saying, like, 2 weeks to stop the curve. You know, if it saves even one life, you know, we need to focus on saving lives, save grandma. It's like mm-hmm. breath is literally the thing that gives you life. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the thing you're stifling, you're stagnating to the point where it makes people sick. Like people breathing in their own toxins, developing bacterial bronchitis. Yeah. Like literally you're doing the exact opposite of what you claim to be preserving, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's so crazy, man. It's so crazy. Yeah. So I'm really curious so my experience with writing, like when you're writing fiction with characters that you've conjured out of just, you know, your own imagination, like they kind of take on a life of their own. So maybe you start mm-hmm. off in one place, and as you're writing a chapter, like it kind of just, sometimes it just veers off, like, oh, I didn't expect it to go this way. And then like you end in a place, like, and then like dots get connected and you're like, oh my God, like it's like actually a really exciting process. Yeah. So I'm curious, for you, did you have like kind of the story and the plot all mapped out beforehand, or did it kind of evolve as you were going? And what did it kind of do that same thing where it kind of took on a life of its own and took you places where you didn't expect?
Yeah. A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Cause the way I kind of approached the development of the story itself is, I kind of was inspired to do this from Brandon Sanderson, because, I'm not sure if you're familiar with his work, but
not sure. I'm not sure. Maybe sounds familiar, but
He's like one of the bigger names of like modern fantasy, like up-to-date fantasy. And he's really famous for his ability to meticulously create a world. And it has all these attributes with it. He sets up all these rules of like, okay, here's the Knight's Radiance, and you have like 8 different subsets, and each one has its own particular ability. And here's all the ways in which these abilities manifest. You know, like he has it broken down in like a comprehensive way where like he can map it out for people and be like, oh, okay, here's what I can look for, you know? So I was really inspired to kind of approach it in that sense where before I even wrote a story, I built the world. And I wrote just a bunch of different rules about it. Like I broke down, okay, here's all the different kinds of breath singers. Here's what they do. Here are the ones that are more known. Here are the ones that are very mysterious and like almost no one knows about them, you know? And I mapped things out kind of that way. And then once I mapped it out, because all the breath singers, like their abilities, they have certain characteristics about them that are like almost archetypal in a sense. So then I started crafting characters that kind of fit those archetypes.
Interesting.
And like they would start with like that base point. And then I kind of just let them loose in different situations and just would kind of let them grow through it.
Interesting.
So like I plan out like where certain characters need to be at certain points. But then anytime I tried to like plan like, okay, this needs to happen and they need to react in this way, it always turned into a pile of crap, basically. Like there were parts in my original manuscript I had to scrap because of it just didn't flow. Like I was trying too hard to force things to happen to the point where it didn't make sense. Like these weren't real people. They were just people. They were just plot devices I invented. Like the best literature is characters that people can relate to, because they're like, I would make a choice like that, or I would think like that, or I know someone who would think like that, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me, what is a breath singer? Break it down.
Right. So the breath singers are pretty much the magic users of the realm I created. And they each have a connection to what's called a whisper. The whispers are like the forces of nature that are like condensed into a single point. And then each breath singer like kind of resonates with one of the whispers. And so they have different abilities where and it's all coming out from their breath. Their ruach, it's called. So they'll exhale with intention, and then that kind of generates an aura around them that's called the ruach, and then they can will that ruach into a specific or particular function. Like I open the book with a naval battle where there's frosts, they're called. The breath singers of ice, they're called frosts. And so they have the ability to exhale, and they have their ruach, and then they can freeze things in front of them, or they can create ice barriers around them, things like that. You know, ice of whatever shape. They can do swords, they can do shields. And the more powerful they are, like the bigger their construct can be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cool, so, man. Awesome. That's awesome. Cool. Well, we have your trailer here. Let's go ahead and watch the trailer, and then we'll dive a little bit more into it. So here you go. So this is book one. Is there anything you want to say to set it up, set up the trailer at all?
Yeah, this is something that I made with my brother in his studio, Alameda Productions. And it was really fun to make. You'll notice like the piano overlay, which I did, and I did the narration. Cool. And then, We had our studio do all the video editing and like the sound editing. And I think it came out really good.
Cool. All right, let's check it out.
It's been 30 years since the Stillwater Temple sunk below the waves, bringing down the Whisper of Frost with it. On that day, winter had lost its icy fangs. The snows fell lighter and the wind grew warmer. The Whisper of Frost, a vestige of nature's power, had stopped lending its power to men. The seven whispers of Zephyr Kingdom had bestowed their powers to man since the beginning of history. These men of power, known as Breath Singers, bent the power of nature to their will. Their creator tasked them with maintaining balance in nature and executing his justice throughout the realm of men. In present times, there are few Breath Singers left who hold fast to their sacred mission. Many instead devote their gifts to their own selfish ambitions and abandon the responsibilities of their calling. They've shunned the will of their creator, from whom all their power came, and now war in vain against one another. Since the Whisper of Frost went missing and the Breath Singers abandoned their duties, the world has fallen out of balance. Niu, the enemy of man and Lord of the Void, took advantage of the imbalance in nature and unleashed his Dark Ones upon the world. His goal is total corruption and enslavement of the souls of men, convincing them to bring their own world to ruin. In the end, he wishes for all to return to nothing. Legends hold that a champion of the Creator shall come forth. The Conductor, as he is called, possesses the means of restoring the harmony within nature. It is he who shall restore Zephyr's whispers. It is he who shall remind the Breath Singers of their sacred duty. It is he who shall banish the Lord of the Void and subdue his Dark Ones. Great war is soon coming, and the Conductor shall lead the charge against the enemy. The men of the realm shall choose their sides and reap what they sow. Mankind's hope is in the Breath Singers reviving their mission of old. And to those who remember, victory is assured, whether it is in this life or the next. This war shall not simply be of flesh and blood, but against the forces of darkness itself. For darkness flees before the light, and the light to banish the dark lies within the hearts of men.
All right. Well, there you go. Nicely done, dude. Cliffhanger. That's amazing. So, I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty expansive story with like an expansive world. Like, so tell us about like this whole world building process. Like, what was that like for you? Like, I understand you did some research and like, what did that look like? Like, very curious.
Right. So, this is actually something I talked about on another podcast. Cause they asked about how much research I did going into it. And honestly, I kept the research at a minimum because one thing, and this is something that I know Owen talks about every now and again, it's like, write about what you know.
Yeah.
And so every part of the world, like it's kind of encapsulating, like kind of like around this, it's like the same essence as like the whisper, like what I was talking about earlier, because there's different forces of nature, like the elemental forces. And then there's some that I haven't gone into yet in book one, so I won't talk about them here.
But, okay, sure.
Every whisper is in a different province. And every province has like its own quirks and its own character that kind of coincides with the whisper. And I kept it kind of like that. And I would have like different occupations or different lifestyles based on the location. And a good example of this is where book one takes place, is in the province of Tara. And Tara is a beautiful, like, expansive prairie land. It's, like, mostly farms because it holds the Whisper of Light, which its ability, the Breath Singers that resonate with the Whisper of Light, their ability is to speed up natural processes, whether it's healing, whether it's, like, their own movements, or plant growth. And so they're called harmonics. And the economy of Tara is that harmonics make invaluable farmers because of how quickly they can turn over a harvest. So there's a lot of like economic factors at play, like within the world, because different Breath Singers have different marketability, for lack of a better term. And Yeah, so I get, since I'm a little bit more into like gardening and horticulture and stuff like that, I'll get really into like the details of like farming, things of that nature. And then there's stuff that I know less about, but I do like a little bit of research so I can at least talk about it intelligibly, right? Like yeah, I talk about like blacksmithing, forging. I'm not a blacksmith. I've never forged anything, but I've looked up like different processes they use in different terms just so I can talk about it. Mm-hmm. But with anything I talk about, I try not to get too much into detail, because I think that's one thing that bogs a lot of authors down, is that they feel like they need to paint a complete picture for their audience, when in reality, the audience fills in most of the blanks themselves. You know, like you really just need to give them the main points and their imagination will take over. Like in their head, like they write the best story in their own head. And like you're kind of just giving them the guidelines in a sense.
Yeah. Man, that's so cool. That's so cool. Well, I'm curious about you know, obviously the world of entertainment, whether it's literature, movies, TV, whatever, Netflix, it's all just like geared and centered around just like degeneracy and just like, you know, just you know, like it's just awful. It's awful. Yeah. But I know that this book is a lot more like you want to try to have a really strong, like wholesome message. Talk about a little bit about like, you know, where you see yourself and where you see the Breath Singer saga in relation to like the culture wars that we're in, right? Trying to build a new culture.
Right. Yeah. Cause that's another thing that I was kind of getting sick of, and I was really motivated to put out like alternative entertainment, because even in, like, I hear this from moms, even in a lot of like young adult literature, there's a lot of adult themes, you know, like a lot of the transgender nonsense is taking over, gender bending is a thing, you know, like all this like LGBTQ stuff. And like, I was just sick of it, you know, like I saw everywhere, like every show has some kind of distorted, like degenerate thing about it, like you see anymore. And I decided like, I didn't want to just complain about it. Like I wanted to start putting out things that are better, and I knew I had the skills to do that. And so, yeah, like this book, I asked myself, I'm like, okay, what is needed to tell a story? Like, do I need excessive profanity? Do I need everyone to have a drinking problem? Do I need to include like sexual content, like at any level? And the answer is no, obviously. Like, there's no reason to really include those details when you're trying to just get a moral message across. And I know like a lot of people say, oh, but it needs to be real. Like you need to include things that like are in real life, but that's the whole thing. You're moving the Overton window. So then you're like, okay, well, this is real life in the not crazy world, where not everyone has a drinking problem. You know, everyone's modest about their, you know, their intimate affairs, you know, they're not just constantly cursing freely wherever, like in public, like in front of children, you know, like there's a society that, or there was a society that didn't do that, you know, and it was because Hollywood normalized all this degenerate behavior that we're like, okay, well now that's real life. But now the way you fight that is you normalize the other way. Be like, okay, well, you don't have to talk about those things. Like you don't have to be horribly explicit with everything. You know, you can have things be clean and it still be a good message, a good story.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And so I understand it's kind of has like a strong Christian message to it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people ask like what kind of books influenced me, and the book that influenced me more than anything was the Bible. You know, I grew up Catholic Christian and still am. And yeah, faith has been a big part of my life ever since I was a kid. And, you know, it's been a big on and off journey, and like getting to the point as an adult where like you see why like the message of the Bible matters so much. and you see what happens when you stray from it. You know, in the Bible, it shows you what happens when you stray from it. but to see it happen in real time, like it hits you a little bit more, you know? And so, yeah, I wanted to write a story where, you know, it's not just moral in a general sense, but like it's biblical principles mm-hmm. that like you can see unfold in everyday life, like outside of, you know, the stories of the Bible. And there's actually a lot of sometimes it's a little bit more direct biblical references within the book, and sometimes they're a little bit more obscure. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to write a book that could convey biblical principles, but without it being like in your face and preachy and lectury, because I've noticed a lot of Christian fiction tends to fall into that trap.
Yeah.
It's either that or they just force their worldview onto every single character. Like they don't have tolerance for any characters that have a different worldview that isn't Christian, you know? And that's another aspect of it where like you need to allow characters to believe things that are different from your beliefs. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it real.
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, like I have it. So a lot of characters there, you can tell like where they're at, like on their faith journey, even though it's not in those explicit terms, by their relationship to their father. Mm. The main character, especially, like he recalls a lot of wisdom, a lot of biblical wisdom from what his father would teach him, because his father isn't around anymore, but he remembers the things his father taught him. You know, which I thought was another important thing to include in there, because a lot of stories nowadays, it's all about like single moms, like characters, like clinging to their moms. It's a lot of times it's just women centered. But like one thing that I want people to see is how important it is to have a good relationship with your father and how that can carry you in many different aspects through life. Mm-hmm. You know, now like being a good father to your children is such an important thing in their development. Like it really does in a lot of ways shape how they see the world, like in their young adult years, especially.
Mm-hmm. And so who's like the target audience then for this book, would you say?
Young Christian men, whether they're high schoolers or like in college.
Okay.
Just young Christian men who, like they're a little bit confused as to what their mission is supposed to be, how they're supposed to go about it. You know, like they're in a world that constantly discourages them from being masculine and from having convictions. And like, I want to show them that it's okay to believe in things and to actually like to say you believe in things and actually believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay to have strong-willed convictions, even though everyone around you disagrees with you.
Yeah, dude, that now it's more important than ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that is the core of what we're up against, you know what I mean? And it's just so crazy how like, you know, that's a lot of like what Jesus said, like, oh man, I can't like look at me going around quoting the Bible. Like, I don't know, but I know it's something to the effect of, I'm not very scholarly when it comes to the Bible, I'll just say. But it's like, basically like, you know, you will be persecuted because of your belief in me, right? That's
right.
The whole idea. Like you will be faced with all kinds of craziness just for believing in me. And it's like, it's so crazy how like that has manifested in reality. Like, it's just, if you believe in anything, it's like, again, like what Owen talks about a lot, it's like his like origin story where it's like the most evil psychotic thing in the world, like the whole trans kid stuff, like that was propped up as the virtuous thing. And my opposition to that is termed, you know, is considered evil. Then it's like, okay, well, then this whole thing is coming down. Like, it's on a biblical level where it's like the most horrible thing you can imagine is being propped up as virtuous. And any opposition to that evil is horrible. Like, that's like the Bible in a nutshell right there. It's like that's the persecution right there. And we're seeing it. It's so crazy.
Yeah, exactly, man. Like, we're told like the world hated Jesus and it's going to hate us too. Yeah. Like, those who follow him. And yeah, we shouldn't expect anything other than insanity for those that kind of go along with what the worldly agenda is, you know?
Yeah, it's frightening. So anything we can do to push back on that and give people the resilience, you know, that's one of the things, that's one of the gifts that I feel like I gained through COVID was this incredible resilience to stand firm in my beliefs and just be able, and even though the whole world said I was crazy and there was consequences, yeah. I got fired from a job, I lost all my friends, family turned their back on me. I basically moved across the country. I'm in Nashville now. I'm from Oregon. So I left Oregon in 2022 and moved to Tennessee just because I couldn't stand living there anymore. I was like, no, I need to be in a place that affirms the way I believe more so than Eugene, Oregon did. And like, no, not doing it. You know what I mean? So it was like, I stood firm the whole time to a lot of consequences, but it was like, you know, I've never been in a better place in my life ever. So that just shows me going forward that the more I stand firm in my beliefs, even when the whole rest of the world thinks I'm crazy, that doesn't matter because it'll actually pay off in the end, really. And even that's not even the point that it'll pay off. It's like, that's just, right. just do it because it's the right thing to do. But I feel like the universe kind of has a way of just rewarding you for standing firm in your beliefs, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, that's awesome. And I've had some similar experiences where I think, like, you're put into these situations and, like, you can't see what it is until you've already gone through it.
Yeah.
Because, I'm an engineer. I work in construction a lot. And I got kicked off of, I think, 3 construction sites for different projects.
Wow.
Just be literally the only reason because I didn't wear a mask. Mm. And I was making the joke to people. I was like, I'm trying to go for 5 so then I get a free ice cream cone.
There you go.
But
yeah, exactly. Dude, that's wild. You think in the construction, like in the trades, they don't play that fucking mask game. Like, what the hell?
Dude, like it's like it's the owners, like the clients that like their company would enforce it. Like these big companies, and they were insane with it. Like, I won't get too much into it, but there were a lot of threats being made. And I knew my faith was being tested, and I'm like, I gotta stand firm. You know, I can't back down from this. So I never did. And then worst thing that happened was I got kicked off a site, and you know, some of the management of my company was like, you know, if you keep doing this, we might not have work for you. And you know, we might have to temporarily let you go. I'm like, that's fine. Whatever needs to happen, you know? And totally. It's funny because literally after I got kicked off that site, I come back to the office and people are fighting over me because they want me on their projects. Cause there's a lot of office work that needed done.
Cool.
I'm like, so, and that actually opened a lot of doors for me to move up in my company. So
amazing. See, that's so amazing how that works, dude. Yeah. I love it. I mean, I had a similar experience, man. Like, I love it. Well, now I'm kind of curious about like kind of the logistics of this. So, what was it like? Like, how many hours a day did you spend writing? Like, I know you had a job, you know, you have relationships, you have a life. Like what did that look like? Your process of writing? What did that look like? Each day.
Yeah, man. So it was pretty sporadic up until this past April, literally a year ago now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's funny how it started because I crashed my car like going 80 on the highway, and I like it easily could have killed me, but I walked away from that scratch free.
Wow.
And it was such a weird experience because I was just grateful the whole time. Everyone's like, oh man, I'm sorry about your car. Like, oh, you just got it fixed. I'm like it was totally, you know, and I'm just like, I'm alive. Like, God spared my life. So, you know, everything's great. And it was around the time, like, I just really started to feel like inspiration to start really getting into writing again. And around that time, I worked with my mentor. I was starting to work with my mentor, Bear Bravely Bear, you know, and he was coaching me through a lot of just time management, like getting it to where I could be as effective as I could with the time I had, because I had like an hour and 10 minute commute one way to work. So I was losing a lot of time driving, and I just had a lot of stuff going on. I was a lead engineer, like starting to become a project manager at this point. So I had a lot of stuff going on, and time management was like the biggest thing. And it got to the point where I would just wake up early. I would write. I'd write for like an hour in the morning, and then I'd come home and then write for like an hour at night. And my goal was to be able to get 1,000 words a day. And I did that for like a month or two, just constantly pumping out like new content. Like, cause it doesn't matter if it's right the first time, you know, like it doesn't matter if you write the perfect novel your first go around, or if you need to write a few drafts, you know, the key is to just keep writing, like make it a habit, like don't stop. Because if you, it's much easier to edit out bad content than to have no content and try to write things from scratch. So the more you're just able to flow and just like stay consistent, like be on a schedule where it's like, okay, this is my writing time. Like first thing in the morning for me at least, and then maybe a little bit during my lunch break, and then in the evening before I go to bed. And, you know, just being consistent like that, I was able from April to October, I had completely rewritten my book. Like I'd scrapped all my manuscripts and just started from scratch. Basically, I kept a lot of the same elements, but like I expanded on it and like made it better. And from April to October, I had written 100,000 words, which ended up becoming my final draft after whatever editing needed to happen.
Yeah, I'm looking here on Amazon. Here, let's pull this up here real quick. So this is, you guys, you can, well, so, well, first of all, MatthewJKaren.com. You guys, there's links in the episode description below. If you want to go learn more about the book, see that, watch that trailer, email list, all that good stuff. But also over on Amazon, you can actually order the book. It's like Kindle and paperback.
Yep.
But here it says 400 pages. That's no joke. Is that about right, or is that?
For the Kindle edition, yeah. For the paperback, it's actually, I think, like 430.
Damn. So, okay, so that's 100,000. I was just curious, like, 100,000 words translates to about 400 pages, 430 pages, like somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Damn, that's epic. Like, that's no joke, man. That's like a serious, serious freaking book.
I appreciate it, man.
Cool. That's so cool. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I encourage people to join my newsletter, too, because, like, even though book one's out, like, I'm not stopping. Like, I'm still, like, literally right before I hopped into the stream, I was writing for book two.
Cool.
And,
like, that's gonna be my next question is, book two in the works, then? Sounds like it is. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, like, being part of my newsletter, that's where, you know, it's easiest for me to stay in touch with people. And that's where I usually make announcements for, or that's where I will be making announcements for, like, advanced reader copies where, like, you can read my book for free. Like, leave a review on Amazon when it launches, stuff like that. I'm going to be doing an advanced review copy for book two and probably going forward. And so, yeah. And like, there'll be other benefits down the road too, for like people that support in these early stages, you know, because it really is a co-creative process where it's not just me. Mm-hmm. Even for book one, I had a bunch of beta readers who gave feedback, and a lot of them were bears. And they gave some pretty solid feedback that I really did take into account as I was finishing up my writing and going into book two. And those people, like I put them in my acknowledgments, like they helped make this book possible. Like even one of the bears, Snow White Bear, she made some beautiful calligraphy that you can see in like one of the first pages in the paperback copy. Oh, and in the Kindle.
That's awesome, man. That's so the collaboration. That's really cool. Well, put me on that list for book two, man. I'll definitely give you some good reviews. That's great. Totally. So now you're looking to publish. Like, did you have an idea of what that looked like ahead of time? Did you try to get it published through like a publishing house? Like I understand it's you published as like a self-published basically, or just tell me about how that whole process. Cause I'm very curious, like personally what that's like.
Right. So I went the completely independent route. Yeah. And I actually started my own publishing company to push this book out. Yeah, it's Advitam Publishing LLC. Nice. Is the name of it.
Love it. That's badass, dude.
Yeah, man. And the reason I started an LLC, because not every author that wants to publish independently needs to start an LLC. Because that was a question I got before. And the main reason is that this is something I'm like looking years down the road with, because I don't even want to stop at books. You know, I want to get into video game development, you know, animation, screenwriting, things like that. Because these are all ways to find the culture war. You know, you don't have to limit it even just one. And with a lot of new technology out, it's becoming a lot easier to get into those other realms, even if you're not like the most, even if you're not like a cinematographer or really good with coding for video games. You know, like there's a lot of like prepackaged stuff that's out there now that makes content creation so much easier for like the common man, who, like, can't afford to like spend time and money studying all these things or hiring someone else to do all these things, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally, man. I think that there's the gap between in the last several years, just the ability to have like GarageBand, just like record music. Yeah. You can write an album like on your computer sitting in your underwear. Whereas like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you had to, you know, have a professional studio, even like this show that I do right here, dude, like this, the availability to the access to the technology, just to be able to do a show. Like I used to have to go to college, get an internship, and then compete with like 1,000 other people for the chance to have a news broadcast. Like now you just set up a YouTube channel, bam, you're off and running. But now we're entering this crazy new era with like AI tools and everything, where now, you know, I'm actually looking at it from the perspective of like, yeah, for music development, like I'm going to be looking to make some music videos here soon. And I'm looking at like some of these like AI, like animation tools. I'm like, I could just like literally just use these. So tell us about, I know this was something. So what are your thoughts on the whole AI art thing when it comes to like what you're working on? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Your philosophy around that. Yeah. This is actually where I experienced the most controversy because, I use a lot of AI art, especially for my promotion.
Yeah.
Like even on my website, like all the artwork you see on there was AI done. And like for an author, especially, it's like my craft is writing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have time to learn how to do graphic design like professionally, or because I'm literally just one dude.
Yeah.
Who is just getting into publishing. Like I don't have the funds to like pay an artist $500 an image.
Yeah.
And like go through all of that. So like having a Midjourney account for $30 a month, you can pump out literally like unlimited amount of really cool art. Mm-hmm. And I understand the argument that it's like, well, it's not a person doing it. So like there's no inherent value in it because it's literally just computer made. Like there's nothing special about it.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And like, if it was just the artwork, like that was it, I would agree, you know? But the thing is that the artwork is tied to something that's man-made, and that's my book.
Yeah.
You know, like the cover art, for example, it's cool because it's part of my book, you know? It's like, oh, that's a sweet cover art, you know? Totally. Like if I were to just share that image with no context, we'd be like, oh, another AI thing, whatever. But the fact that it's part of this thing that I made is what makes it cool. You know, the same thing with like all the promo posts I do, because it's all like scenes derived from or like specifically about scenes of my book. Like there's some artwork I posted that's literally like it'll be like a portrait of one of my characters, you know, and they all look kind of similar. Sometimes they're a little bit different, but I mean, you know, people get the picture. And it's just a really cool way to be able to promote a book where, you know, it's like it draws the eye, and it helps someone who's literally just doing this on his own to kind of get a foothold. Whereas before you were gatekept by all these publishing companies and like having to hire all these different artists. So you go through the publishing company, they'll do that for you, you know, because you're just one guy. You can't afford to do all this.
Dude, I think that's the best argument I've heard, is the idea of like, this is a way to defeat the gatekeeping aspect of it. You can create a professionally packaged something to absolutely encapsulate grassroots efforts into something that looks like it was made with like billions of dollars of backing, you know? So right. It's like, yeah, breaking through the great gatekeeping. I'm just scrolling through your Twitter account here. I mean, yeah, dude, like, look at that. Like, it's just like, that's super legit. That looks like a Final Fantasy cover right there. Like,
yeah,
you know, so we've beaten the gatekeepers. Now we're competing at the same level they are.
Exactly, man.
Yeah. 100%. So amen to that, dude. That's amazing.
I will say to be wary because AI likes to do this thing where it will just sometimes slip in an extra finger somewhere make something really weird. And there are times where I didn't catch it and I would post it. People would be like, this is AI, wasn't it? I'm like, oh, crap.
Ah, crap. Yeah, watch them fingers. That's hilarious. Yeah. Dude, that's awesome, though. I mean, I honestly, for like, I'm working on some musical stuff. Like I plan on just using AI, like mixing and mastering song. Cause I've experimented around with a few like mixing mastering programs and like, it sounds good. Like it's not going to be nearly as good as if I were to pay somebody to do that. But I don't have the money to do that. Maybe on the next album or whatever. Right. But I don't have the money to pay like $10,000 like to have somebody mix and master these songs. So if you're out there, you know, folks, in the beginning, when we were talking about value for value, if you get any value out of the show, if you're a song, if you're a producer, mixer, master, let me know. Maybe we can do some sort of trade or something, but yeah. Anyway. Without spilling the beans too much, it's a top secret project I'm working on. It's pretty cool. But anyway, but yeah, dude. But you know, like the utility of it, you know, it allows me as like, you know, someone who's making music to come out with something that could potentially compete with a professionally produced, like an industry labeled song. Like, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? Breaking down all that gatekeeping, man.
Totally, man. Like what you were just saying, like offering to work with someone like in the audience who's like into mixing and stuff. Like, yeah, I would love to be able to work with like an actual human artist. Mm-hmm. It's just when you're kind of getting your foot in the door and you're a little bit like newer or not as well established, it's harder to make those connections.
Yeah.
Like, especially for like a first time author. So it's like, when you're just like a person just starting out, you need some way to be able to get your foot in the door, you know? And like AI really did like balance out the game where now like just anyone's able to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, there's like a lot of insecurity around it. People are like, oh no, they're going to like, remember that whole controversy like a few years ago where like they were telling all the truck drivers, like, cause they thought that electric vehicle trucks were going to take over the industry. They're like, well, just learn to code, bro. Like, just learn how to write computer code. And that was a big controversy. But now sounds like all the coders might be replaced by AI. So it's like now they're like, oh. So, you know, I think as with any technology, I think it may, like, the new technology is going to be, or the new jobs are going to be how to communicate and interact with the AI tools in order to generate the results you want. You know what I mean? Like, it still takes that human input in order to create the output, the desired output. So it's like, these are just tools in a way, you know? And I know that may be a controversial opinion. Like, a lot of people in my audience might be like, no, bro, like there's a Terminator, like Terminator 2, like around the corner. But it's like, I don't even think this is AI in the same sense that these things are, right? These are just, yeah. So I don't know. I'm not whatever. But anyway, I agree. They're useful tools. And, you know, it's an interesting era we're coming into. That's for damn sure, dude. Very, very interesting stuff, you know, and the idea that we have access to things that we didn't have access to before is really what inspires, like, from a creative aspect. Like, yeah. Even like 20 years ago, there was no way to like publish your own book. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no way to do that. The barrier to entry for writing a book and getting it out there was so high. And now it's like, you can do it. You can totally do it while juggling a full-time job and everything. Like, what the heck? What were some of the main roadblocks for you? Like writer's block, or like, what were some of the things you ran into for anybody else that's contemplating writing a book?
Yeah, man. Writer's block is a huge one because, the downside to trying to, write a full length novel while you're working a full-time job is that it burns you out. Mm-hmm. And like, there's been plenty of times where like I had to take a step back because I'm like, man, this is getting intense, you know, especially when like a bunch of life stuff is happening too. Like I just got married last month.
Whoa, so congrats.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
man, it was wonderful. And it's like, you have to learn to pick your battles, because there's sometimes where it's better to just, you know, take a step back from, you know, the writing, the creativity, because it gets to a point where like you get creative burnout, and like there would be times the stuff I'm typing, like it's just not good, and it's not like it's not going towards anything. Like I'm writing just to write words. Kind of contrary to what I was saying earlier, there's also a point where like you can take a bit of a break, and you know, a lot of times I'll just pray and just, you know, like wait for inspiration to come when, you know, whenever the time is right. And yeah, there's gonna be times where like you're not gonna, like I wasn't writing 1,000 words a day when I wanted to be, you know. And it's, yeah, just finding ways to recharge your battery, you know. Make like, you want to be able to make time for the people in your life. Don't just become a shut-in and just either be working on, like, don't just work, you know, because that's how you get burnout really quickly. And, you know, it ends up helping no one, because then your work suffers and then your personal life suffers too. So it's good to have a balance in your life. You know, make sure to take time for all the important things in your life. Don't just become a hermit. Like, I did a couple of times and it didn't work out well.
Yeah.
And,
that's awesome. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, totally.
Dude, I'm stoked for you, man. This is really, really good stuff. Is there any other final thoughts? Any other final words you want to leave the people with here?
Right. I actually didn't answer your question a little bit ago about the LLC thing, just to finish that line of thought.
Yeah.
Cause, it's a long-term thing I'm planning here, where I'm going to be writing a lot of books and branching out in other media. And the nice thing about an LLC is that I can assign all the rights to that LLC, meaning that I can pass it on.
Okay.
You know, because like, especially with ISBNs, if they were just in my name, they would live and die with me. So if like, God forbid, I keel over and I'm like 40, I have like 7 books out, and I was making royalties on them, like a lot of royalties. After I died, my kids would get none of it, because it was in my name.
Yeah.
You know, so if I can pass on the LLC, like my, God willing, my kids, my grandkids, they can collect royalties on my publishing company. You know, they can keep it going.
That makes perfect sense, dude. I love it. That's awesome. Okay, cool. Well, that's a great, that's great advice. I'll definitely file that away for all of my creative projects that I'm working on right now. I should LLC this show. Who knows? Even though, yeah, we'll see. But anyway, all right, man. Well, tell the people how they can follow and support all of your work.
Yeah. Best way would be to go to MatthewJCoran.com. It has all my links there. It has the go to Amazon page. You can learn more about the saga. And I'll be updating that as time goes on with other projects that I have in the works. And yeah, join the newsletter. That's the main way I'll be updating people in real time. So yeah, if you want to get updated on the latest content, if you want to become a co-creator with me on all future books, if you want to help like do your part in the culture war, and you don't want to write a book, but you want to help a guy who's writing a book, it's a great way to support. And yeah, I've had great interactions with a lot of great people, and yeah, just building those connections, it helps everyone.
Beautiful, man. All right, guys. Yeah, go follow and support him. There's links to all the social media there at the top of his page there, links to his website and to the Amazon in the episode description here. So we got to support those that are doing the right thing out there in the world. So, man, congratulations. Just keep me posted. Super excited for you, man. This is really good stuff and very inspiring. I'm feeling very personally very inspired. So that's great.
Right on.
Awesome, man. All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us, and we'll catch you next week. I think I got a couple episodes next week. Let me see. I think I've got another bear next week. Let me see here. No, I just have one episode next week, and then I got two episodes the following week, and I do have a primitive skills bear on the 28th. So there you go. So, all right, guys, have a lovely evening, good week, and I'll catch you next week. Peace. Awesome.